XDN Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, Alaska is taking a lead in the global market as far as salmon prices go, and the Trump administration is looking at a decision that could change the future of the Pebble Mine. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AKTeach or at 907-942-0667.
It was a generally good salmon season for Alaska, except for one species.
It was a disastrous year for Chinook harvest.
That's Andy Wink, a seafood economist with the consulting firm McDowell Group. Wink says, while king salmon may be the most famous salmon species among Alaskans, it also makes up the lowest total value of all the different commercial salmon species.
Sockeye, pink salmon, chum salmon, those are the species that, for the commercial fleet, really move the needle in terms of total value.
Wink says Alaska's chum season stood out in the global market.
We've seen higher prices on fillets and on frozen H&G chum as well, which is really, you know, kind of amazing to see. When you get a record harvest, usually prices would go down with that additional supply. But this was a very unique year where it just worked out that, you know, other fisheries around the world were kind of in a downswing and ours peaked.
Japan catches a lot of chum and produces a lot of roe. Wink says Alaska is the second market consumers turn to when Japan's harvest falls, like it did this year. He says 2017 is seeing higher roe prices for both chum and pink salmon, and that can play into overall market success. He says in 2013, pink prices went over 40 cents a pound.
And there's a lot of things that kind of came together to create that situation and to create that price. And it was just a lot of things that, you know, were kind of external factors but ended up benefiting Alaska pink prices. But one of the main things was roe. Roe accounted for like 40% of pink value from that year.
He says roe is unique to wild salmon. That means it doesn't face competition from farm salmon, unlike with fillets. Wink says a lot of big markets and other chains will turn to farm salmon if the prices are good, but he says farm salmon prices are up, which makes wild salmon all the more valuable. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
For the 20th year in a row, Dutch Harbor has been recognized as the largest fishing port in America. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration made the announcement recently in its annual fisheries study. NOAA's Ned Sear says Unalaska's port held onto its longtime title easily, hauling 770 million pounds of commercial seafood in 2016.
Walleye pollock continues as the big catch there.
Dutch Harbor's haul was worth $198 million in total, but that's down $20 million and 17 million pounds from the previous year. City officials blame the dip on a bad year for Bering Sea crab fisheries, which suffered slashed quotas and canceled seasons. They say Unalaska's budget has already taken a small hit. Meanwhile, Alaska continues to lead all other states in commercial landings. Alaska fishermen brought in 5.6 billion pounds of seafood, more than half the national total. The Trump administration is currently weighing a decision that could alter the future of the Pebble Mine and the Bristol Bay region communities nearby. That includes Dillingham and Illiamna. They are the only places the Environmental Protection Agency visited last month to get public input on whether to scrap an Obama-era proposal to put restrictions on the mine. In Dillingham, residents spoke unanimously against the idea, but in Illiamna, the reaction was more mixed. Elizabeth Harbaugh from Alaska's Energy Desk has this portrait of a resident who is still deciding whether the mine is a good idea.
Evelyn Trifon wears a lot of hats. She's the school secretary. She's on the city council. She's on the board of the electric co-op. She also runs a business selling fruit in the summer. And tonight, she's my tour guide, driving me around New Halen and Illiamna. As Trifon shows me the lay of the land, her four-year-old daughter sits patiently in the back seat.
Up the road to Zimna, about.
No, I am an artist.
Yeah?
Trifon's originally from Kansas, but she moved to New Haven in 2011 with her husband, who grew up here. New Haven and Illiamna are home to about 350 people total, spread out along quiet roads by the north shore of the biggest lake in Alaska. We turn a corner and get a spectacular view.
This is Lake Illiamna. I think it's 45 miles across and 90 miles long.
Wow. It's like a sea.
Yeah, it does. It looks, and when it's blowing, when the waves are coming up, it looks like an ocean.
But as we continue on, Trifon starts to describe other landmarks in a very specific way.
So that's the clinic there. The clinic employs quite a few people, too. The post office only employs one person. The clinic employs two health aides.
Whenever we pass a business or an office, Trifon tells me how many jobs it provides. The same thing happens when we pass the Illiamna Village Council.
And they employ probably four or five people.
It's not a random fixation. Poverty rates here are higher than average for Alaska. The top employer is the New Haven School, where Trifon works as a secretary. But that might not always be the case.
This is Pebble's headquarters now, right there.
If it's built, the Pebble Mine would be about 20 miles from Illiamna. The company argues one reason it belongs there is it would provide more local employment. Trifon tells me when the large mining company Anglo American left the Pebble Project in 2013, a lot of people lost their jobs. She says some have found work elsewhere, like with the oil industry on the North Slope.
But then that takes them away from their families, and that takes them away from their friends, that takes them away from their subsistence lifestyles. So it's hard. It's a hard choice if you want to work.
That helps explain why opinions were so mixed at EPA's hearing in Illiamna last month. Mothers like Trifon stood before federal officials and argued both for and against the mine. That included Margie Olympic from New Haven, who has worked for Pebble for the last 11 years.
I am very grateful that I have a job, that I can put food on the table, pay bills, have private insurance, get what my kids need and want, and enjoy the luxuries of a car, four-wheeler, boat, snow machine, new furniture, and the best part is I don't have to get up and leave my community.
But a different mother told EPA officials she feared the mine could endanger the salmon fishery, and salmon provide jobs too. Renee Zakhar of Igyagig explained how salmon have supported her entire family.
My husband and I put up fish every summer. My two sons commercial fish in Bristol Bay. All three of my daughters worked at commercial fish processing in Naknek for 2 years. Two of my daughters went to the Fly Fishing Academy program.
Trifon was at the hearing, but she didn't stand up and speak. She simply sat quietly and listened to what others had to say. As Trifon starts to drive back to where I'm staying for the night, her daughter pipes up from the back seat.
You could lay down.
I asked Trifon, so what about the salmon? Trifon says yes, subsistence fishing here is abundant. She turns down a gravel road and points towards another local landmark.
So this road just takes you to the rapids, which is a pretty world famous place to go fishing.
Do you fish a lot?
Oh yeah, I love to fish.
Every summer, Trifon sees two species of salmon return to spawn in the river behind her house. The Pebble Partnership argues it can build the mine without harming the fishery. But if something goes wrong, Trifon wonders if the salmon could find their way back. I ask her if the Pebble Mine controversy has made things uncomfortable in New Haven and Illiamna.
Well, there's always drama in any small community, but the main thing we always come together for is always the kids. I mean, we both have that, both communities are fed into the New Haven school, and we always come together for the kids.
That's part of why Trifon decided to make a life here, for her, her husband, and her daughter, who is now fast asleep in the back seat.
I love living here. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
If the Pebble Mine gets built, it will bring significant changes to the small slice of rural Alaska that Trifon calls home. Just like her community, Trifon has mixed feelings about the mine. She hasn't decided whether she thinks it's a good idea or a bad idea. She says New Haven and Illiamna do need jobs. But a few hours after Trifon dropped me off and we said goodnight, she sent me a text. It read, "One last thought. Jobs are important, but salmon are more important." For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Sea Alaska is increasing its investments in Seattle's seafood processing industry. It's part of the Southeast Alaska Regional Native Corporation's effort to boost revenues and increase dividends. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Sea Alaska's first investment in the industry came in 2016. It bought a minority interest in Independent Packers Corporation, a Seattle processor employing about 180 people. It next purchased a majority stake in Odyssey Enterprises. It's also in Seattle and has about 200 workers. Both do secondary processing, also called value-added. That means they turn seafood into soups, stews, breaded, and similar products to sell under their own names or someone else's. The new addition is Orca Bay, based in Renton, about 10 miles southeast of Seattle. It makes similar products and has about as many workers.
The products they have, their customer base, their marketing strategies, their access to resources, all is very complimentary.
Anthony Malott is president and CEO of Sea Alaska, which has about 23,000 shareholders, mostly Tlingits or Haidas. He says Orca Bay is in the process of merging with Odyssey.
The combination of the two offers, you know, not only good scale, but an opportunity to, you know, have an expanded customer base and give us a platform where we can continue to build our marketing expertise, try innovative new products, and be the beginning of the seafood platform that we envisioned.
He says it's Sea Alaska's last processing investment for now, but the corporation also plans to purchase Alaska Seafood for the plants. Sea Alaska's seafood buys are part of a five-year recovery plan after its construction company lost more than $25 million and other businesses more than doubled that amount. Among other things, the plan called for development of businesses closer to Southeast Alaska and the Pacific Northwest, where many shareholders live. Earlier investments included plastics factories as far away as Alabama and Guadalajara, Mexico. Malott says processing is one reason the corporation has been able to boost its part of this month's $11 million shareholder distribution.
The earnings have improved across the board. Natural resources, government services, and the new seafood investments are all adding to the earnings that are culminating in this increased dividend.
The dollar per share contribution isn't a lot, but it's the largest in the past few years. Earnings from Sea Alaska's Marjorie Young Permanent Fund added another 86 cents per share. But the largest part of the dividends comes from natural resource earnings shared by all 12 regional native corporations. That amount, $4.10 per share, is down. In Juneau, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from the Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage, KUCB's Laura Craigle in Unalaska, and Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.